Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Aaron, welcome from the hunting public. You know what? It is another beautiful day outside, and turkey season is in full stride and probably actually winding down for some states. But how you been, man? How you doing?
I've been good. That's what I've been doing for the last 2 months is turkey hunting, pretty much nonstop. I had a wedding in there a few weeks ago. I got married, but other than that, I've been dealing with turkeys since middle of March, which is not uncommon. That's usually how our springs go. We start in mid-March and we hunt them clear to June. This year, I think we'll hunt until June 5th.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And then about, you know, usually when you do this each year, do you usually just hunt like one turkey, or do you usually go different states and hunt different birds?
Oh, we hunt all kinds of different birds, all kinds of different states. We usually start down south somewhere and just kind of work our way north, zigzagging back and forth from the west to the Midwest to out east.
That is awesome. That sounds like a lot of work, though.
It is. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of nights sleeping in a tent on the ground and random places across the country, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So speaking of that, the hunting public, something you've put your, you know, soul into in the last few years, I guess tell us about that brand and how it started and what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. We just started it basically out of what we felt was a necessity. We, all of us are just your average hunters, you know, from all across the country. I mean, I'm from Missouri, Jake's from Wisconsin, Ted's from Iowa, Greg's from Nebraska, Zach's from Ohio. We've got just this melting pot of people that are all different personalities from all different places across the country. But the common theme amongst all of us is that we grew up hunting, and a lot of us grew up hunting public land or private land on permission. And we felt like, you know, we wanted to create content for the general public that hunts. So we called it the Hunting Public.
Yeah, it's very cool. I can't help but think about it, because when we started Boner Planet back in the day, it was kind of the same idea, but more around the gear. You know, what does the average consumer think of this bow, or what does the average person think of this bow? Not the target, you know, professional shooter, but what does the average person do? And public land hunting has always been like something we've always done. But to be honest with you, I don't know how you guys do it. It is so hard to capture public land hunts like on video and stuff. For some reason, I just feel like they're harder. Like if I go hunt a farm, it's private land, and you know, the guy's like, hey, you're gonna see 30 deer and they're gonna come in front of you, no problem. no big deal. I can film that. That's not a problem. But when you start getting into public lands and how hard it is, and you know, it is brutal. So hats off to you guys. It's literally unbelievable. And that's, I think, part of why, you know, you guys have such great success, not to mention your hard work and all that, but like, people love public land hunting. Like, to me, I love it. Like, I think it's one of the most, you know, gritty, you know, get in there, get it done type hunts there are. And to be able to achieve it and do such a great job is pretty cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So tell us about some of those adventures. I know you guys have a ton of videos on YouTube, huge amounts of volumes of views on those videos. People obviously love them. So tell us about some of your favorite ones, I guess, or ones that people should definitely watch or tune into.
Oh man, that'd be tough, because I'm sure each of us probably have a different, you know, opinion on which ones that are our favorites. I would say, speaking for myself and kind of for the rest of our group, I would say watch the turkey tours. That's our favorite thing to do, I think, collectively, is turkey hunt across the country. Now we love deer hunting and chasing mature bucks on public land, and we put a ton of time and effort into that. Basically, when turkey season's over with, that's where our focus is at for 9.5 months, you know, or close to it. But in turkey season, just seems like it's a lot less stressful for us. We're just traveling around kind of in a group, having fun, where everybody, you know, you go to camp and most everybody's got tags. So you're running around out there. I mean, just this last week, I was in Montana and Wyoming with a big group, you know, all of our guys, and then our buddies from Onyx and my friend Sam Solholt and his brother Josh. And we had groups. There were some days we had groups of 5, 6, 7 guys going out trying to chase turkeys, and that was a lot of fun. So I would definitely recommend checking out the turkey tour stuff. The deer tour stuff is also pretty cool, and you know, some of the most unique series of hunts that we've had in there over the years. Zach's got a really cool hunt from North Dakota, spot and stalk bow hunt. That's a 3 or 4 video series at the beginning of last year. And then I also went down to Georgia and hunted in the mountains with a muzzleloader last year. And that was a really cool series of hunts as well. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, there's so much to choose from. That's really cool. It's so exciting too, I think, to capture those moments, and you guys can always go back and watch those. And that's just really, really exciting. So speaking of gear, I guess, what does your gear box look like? If I was to come and, you know, hunt with you guys, what would I see as your bow, your gun? Like, what kind of stuff are you using?
It depends. Are you talking like deer hunting or turkey hunting, or?
That's a great point. Let's talk deer hunting.
Okay.
Whitetail.
We're pretty minimalist, if you will. Like, I have to be able to throw all my gear in the back of the truck, including all of our camping stuff, food, water, and everything, and camera gear for a week. So we don't use a ton of hunting gear. Like, I'll take a couple of changes of camouflage clothes and maybe a few layers of like flannels or something to put underneath if it gets cold, but that's pretty much it. I mean, all my camo clothes basically fit in a small carry-on duffel bag on most of these hunts that we go on, unless you get in real, real late season where it's like 10 degrees outside, yeah. Then you're talking different. But for the most part, the clothing aspect is super light. Usually take 2 pairs of boots, usually take a pair of hiking boots and a pair of rubber boots, pair of binoculars. I have my bow, which right now is a Bear Whitetail Legend, and some arrows, some broadheads. I usually bring my broadhead sharpening kit with me, but all of that stuff fits in my bow case.
Should I keep it all in there?
Yeah, and then past that, I'm trying to think. I bring a saddle and 4 climbing sticks.
Nice. How long have you used a saddle? A long time.
I haven't. I've used it for a couple years. I've dabbled with it now for about 3 years, and I've used it seriously for 2 years. Or has it been 3 years? Let me think. Yeah, I've used it for the entire year in 2019 and 2020.
How was it? I've actually never used one. I've seen them and heard of them, but I've never tried one.
I like it a lot. I also like mobile tree stands. That's what we used to use all the time, but the saddle just kind of lightened up our footprint a little bit. Like, it's the saddle and platform is smaller. It's easier to pack. And I feel like, especially with two of us getting up in the tree, we can get set up a lot quicker with the saddle and platforms than we could with, you know, two stands, camera base, camera arm, all that stuff.
Yeah. What's been your, what's your favorite state to hunt for whitetail?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
I gotta ask the hard questions.
Wherever we're at on that given day is probably my favorite. I don't know that I could pick one in particular, to be honest, because I went into that Georgia hunt this last year. I mean, we're from Iowa and we hunt Iowa every year. I went into that Georgia hunt this last year thinking, you know, this is going to be super, super difficult and probably not one of my favorite places to deer hunt. But after, at the end of the trip, it was like, this is one of the coolest places I've ever hunted whitetail. I mean,
that's awesome.
There's hogs down there. There's all kinds of, I mean, the scenery is amazing. The terrain is really cool that those deer live in. It's totally different than the stuff that we hunt back in the Midwest. But yeah, man, if I'm hunting deer, we hunt them in so many different environments and so many different situations. That's sort of, that's the beauty of deer hunting to me, is just being able to experience those different situations and learn about how deer live in different environments.
What's the hottest place you've hunted?
The hottest?
Yeah. Like California or anything like that's super warm.
I hunted Kentucky during that early velvet season a few years ago, around September 1. And that was just plain miserable. I mean, it was like 93 during the day and we were hunting in the evenings mostly. And I mean, we're setting up in a t-shirt and just one light pair of base layers underneath, you know.
Yeah.
To just kind of wick some sweat off. But yeah, it was 90 some degrees and super, super humid. That was the hottest that I've ever hunted.
That's funny. Yeah, because we're from Michigan, so everything here has been, it's always pretty cool here. It's not like ever, I mean, it gets warm, but like nothing, you know, dramatic. And then my sister had gotten remarried in Florida and my family, we went down to Florida in July. And I was like, this is insane. And I remember thinking like, I can't believe people actually come down here and hunt gators or hog, you know, in this time of year. Cause I was like, this is miserable.
Yeah.
It was so
Michigan's
bad.
A sweet place though. We've been up there a couple times and love it up there.
Yeah, Michigan's great. We got a lot of public land, to be honest. There's a ton of it. Chasing turkeys here is a lot of fun. There's a lot of turkey in Michigan. Now, the laws they put in place a few years back have definitely helped to get, you know, progressively, you know, make the herd larger. The deer so far, I mean, there's some big bucks. I'm not going to act like there's none, but they are hard to get to and far and few compared to like an Iowa or something like that, you know.
No doubt. There's also way, way more hunters in Michigan.
Correct.
The resident hunter population is way bigger in Michigan.
That is correct. Yeah. When we're hunting, we hunt the west side of the state and we hunt about 300 acres. But even though it's 300 acres, the biggest bucks that we'll see, maybe we might see like a 140, that's maybe a 150 is pushing it. But I guarantee, and it happens every year, we'll see that buck in early season, like when we go out there in September and start glassing in August, whatever. But just around new season, if not just after that, they're all dead. Like they're killed so fast. It's crazy. And even at 300, they just, cause they move around so many farms that, you know, there's so many hunters that it's not like there's nobody hunting the next four farms, you know? So unfortunately we never get our hands on the big ones, or if we have, we've missed.
That happens.
It's been a disaster of a couple of years. I got a nice buck last year and I was happy with it, but I missed a 150 the year before twice. And so I was not happy about that. And, you know, I was going to ask you that question. Do you guys mainly use like all sorts of weapons, or do you mainly use bow or crossbow or gun, or what do you use the most, I guess?
Probably compound bows. And we do a fair amount of gun hunting as well, but the majority of our videos is archery hunting.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I actually just, we just had the youth weekend for the kids for turkey this past weekend. And it's the first time I've ever, purchased a gun for my kid. he wanted to use a gun. I'm like, I don't know, man, this is like bow hunter planet, you know, like I don't know if we can do this, like I don't know if I feel right about this, you know. And he's like, come on dad, I want to use a shotgun. I'm like, oh my god. So we end up buying this Winchester turkey shotgun, which is actually awesome. It's a really nice shotgun. And it's a 20 gauge, and you know, we were out there, we didn't get a shot or anything, but he's 12 years old now, but when he was 7, he killed his first deer with a crossbow. When he was 8, he killed his second deer with a crossbow. When he was 8, he also killed a turkey. Then he had a lull, which he didn't see anything for 2 years. And then we had COVID, so he didn't go last year. And then this year he finally got to go, and he was more pumped than me. He's like, we got to stay out here all day. I'm like,
that's cool.
Like, good man, deal. This kid wants to go. It was pretty impressive. He's actually going back tonight, hopefully, and with his grandpa. Hopefully they can connect. But you know, turkey hunting, I really over the past, I don't know, I didn't do a lot of turkey hunting in my youth. And as I got older and with having the website and stuff, we started doing more turkey hunting. And I have to admit, it's definitely one of the funnest things I've ever done in hunting. I think it's a blast. It's you can do a little bit more. I feel like I can do more in the blind. I can hang out with people and talk and still turkey come in. They're not like the smartest animal. They're not like a deer where, you know, you really can't move the whole time and it makes it very uncomfortable. You really just got to sit like a statue. It's just such a huge difference in animals, you know? And, you know, speaking of that, I know you've hunted other animals as well. So I guess like, what's your next, like, what's your favorite animals to hunt? Like elk, moose, like what would be your top ones if you could choose?
Elk is my favorite. Archery elk hunting in September is my favorite thing to do.
Where do you usually do that?
I've hunted them in New Mexico, Arizona, and Wyoming now.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it's been, I mean, amazing every single time that I get to go. But I don't hunt elk every year. I usually get to go out there about once every 3-4 years. But that's definitely my favorite thing to do. I think because, and especially hunting them during the rut, it's kind of a blend of whitetail and turkey hunting. You know, you're hunting a big four-legged mammal like you are with a whitetail, but they're bugling and they're talking to you like a turkey does.
Wow.
So you have that ability to interact with them, but you also have to play the wind. I mean, it's just constant movement is what it seems like during that time of the year. It's just amazing. That's my favorite thing.
Now, sure. when you hunt an elk, do you hunt it? Are you constantly, I guess like, cause I've never done it. So are you moving tree to tree with a bow, trying to get close? And then like you wait till them to look away, or how does that work? Or
yeah,
like
I mean,
a deer just, where they're like gone.
No, you're just doing kind of a variety of all different things, depending on the situation. You're walking, you're calling, you're trying to locate elk.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
You're getting to high points, glassing for elk. You're spotting and stalking elk. It just depends on what the situation dictates for that particular day. But it's just constantly mentally and physically demanding to chase elk. I mean, all day when we're out there, you know, with deer, sometimes you kind of get your plan in place and you get in there and then you're doing a lot of waiting to see something.
Yep.
And you do that some with elk and turkeys, but not as often. It's more active.
Have you done a mule deer?
I have not. Nope. And I would like to, but there's a lot of things that I'd like to do. I mean, I used to duck hunt all the time, and that was one of my passions. I loved waterfowl hunting when I was younger, but I love fly fishing for trout, but I just don't get time to do that stuff because,
yep,
you know, if it's September and I'm elk hunting, we're out there for close to a month.
Wow.
And then I'm at home deer hunting for the rest of the fall or traveling to deer hunt for the rest of the fall.
Incredible.
So, and then we're planning for turkey season, which is basically, like I said earlier, we're hunting turkeys every day pretty much from the 14th or 15th of March through the beginning of June. So at some point I have to be at home to be with my family, you know, and take care of stuff here.
So, what's your schedule look like this year coming up? What hunts you guys got planned
that you'll be on? In the short term, we're going to Maine turkey hunting in the beginning of June. And then towards the end of June, we're going to Texas to hunt hogs with the ranch ferry. We did that last year. That was super fun. So we're going to go down there and try to shoot some pigs with our bows and maybe blow up some tannerite on his ranch or something. It'd be pretty cool. Nice. Then we'll start planning for the fall. One of my buddies drew an Arizona elk tag early archery in September. So I may try to get down there and go with him for a few days, but beyond that, I'm not real sure where we're going next fall. I do think Indiana's a state that we're going to hunt that we have never been before. But outside of that, we haven't made any plans yet.
Very cool. That's awesome. You know, switching gears a little bit real quick, I wanted to touch on, you know, you and I had previously worked together on this project for ATA, the Let's Hunt, and we were both in the media summit. What was your thoughts on the media summit? Did you, I haven't had a chance to talk to you after. What were your thoughts overall with what was shown and what we've seen?
I think it's good. I think it's something that a conversation we need to continue to have. It's hard to get everybody on the same page, you know, pushing forward to do that stuff, to really pitch in and take on an initiative, because there's so many different influencers and content creators out there, you know, and everybody has got a full plate already, you know, of things that they're working on within their own brand. So trying to add one more thing onto them is a tough sell. Yeah. But it's definitely topics covered, you know, including getting new hunters out in the woods. That's something that all of us are pretty passionate about. So it's always a good conversation. There's lots of good ideas and stuff shared. And yeah, the last two that we've done, the virtual one this year because of COVID, and then the one that we did the year before that at the actual show, they went over really well. And some good things have come out of those. I mean, from discussions we had at that initial media summit, we ended up getting in contact with some state agencies. And now we work with, I believe it's four or five different state agencies on recruitment. We basically work with their departments, their outreach departments, and their R3 coordinators about how we can, you know, make the process easier to get people involved in hunting in their state.
Yeah. Yeah. I was blown away. I thought it was such a great thing to bring together so many different organizations that are influencers, because the thing about it is, like, you have, like, the ATA is a great host for that. That's why I wore the hat today for you in this show.
Yeah.
But the ATA is a great spot because they work with everybody in different ways. So they're like the perfect person or group to bring together the different, you know, organizations and, you know, communications and all that. Because the thing about it is, when you look at it from a perspective of, you know, getting in front of an audience, you know, we all have the audience, right? So we have an audience to put in front of. And if you were to host all that and get all that together, the audience is pretty large if you were to put all of our stuff together in one spot. And I think that's why it's a critical thing to help figure ways to build the heritage of archery and in the outdoors in general. Just getting kids outside is always critical. But I really like the Let's Hunt initiative. I think it's a great idea. And we've been trying to hashtag it where we can. And I think everybody's done something already that I've seen.
Yeah.
Trying to push that idea. But I think it's a good thing. I think it'll help in the end. It'll definitely do more. So
yeah, I agree.
So pretty sweet. I was thinking the other day, I know I want to ask you, sorry. You guys have you guys got a video with this van conversion thing. This is like sweet. What's it? This thing got like, it looks like it holds guns and like.
That's my buddy Sam's deal.
Wow.
Yeah, we were actually just hunting with him out in Montana.
That thing is cool, man. Tell us about it a little bit, what you've seen of it. That thing looks unbelievable.
I saw it again this last week because he had it out there at camp. But Yeah, if you guys want to learn more about it, go follow Sam Sohold on Instagram. He basically just posts, you know, daily on what he's adding to this thing. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's a hunting fortress on wheels.
I think it's sweet, man. It's got like these pullouts where you can put like, it's almost like he took, I don't know how he did it, but it's almost like that stuff you buy in like a plano case where you pull out the little pieces and fit everything perfect. So there's like gun spots, there's a bow spot. I mean, it looks awesome.
Oh yeah. He put a ton of time and effort into that. And before that, before he built that van, he had a bus that he
I remember that actually.
And we went on some hunting trips. I think those are on the turkey tour in years past where he was with us with his bus. But then he got rid of the bus and he went to the van because it was a little bit more economical to drive around and easier to, you know, deal with. When he was driving a school bus across country, it got a little hairy at times.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Because it's a bus, you know, it's it's not the easiest thing to maneuver when you get back on a national forest road somewhere. But, yeah, he's got that van now, and him and his brother have done a sweet job with it. They both sleep in it and travel all over the place with the thing. It's four-wheel drive, and yeah,
that's really cool.
Awesome hunting mobile hunting rig. It's cool as it gets.
So where do you see the media part of archery and outdoors going, I guess? Because, like, you know, a lot of what we're seeing now, and I think is very interesting, is you're going from, you know, all these groups, like, you know, our groups and different groups like that, to like literally individuals. I mean, you're seeing like on TikTok and all these different things, you're seeing people like turn on a water faucet and get like a million followers, you know. It's like so crazy what is happening right now. And I don't know what that means exactly, but I just kind of want to pick your brain on that, like what your thoughts were with that.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's constantly changing landscape. I feel like definitely the digital platforms are the ones that are going to continue to grow. And we need to constantly adapt how we produce content, whether it's, you know, and I'm of the opinion that we need to have content on all these platforms, even if the platforms themselves, there's some of them that are controversial. You know, I mean, Facebook pulls stuff down sometimes that, you know, you think is just fine. It's like, it's just hunting, you know, but their views may differ from ours, and we have no control over what type of content they're going to censor and not censor. However, I feel that the benefits of being on there outweigh the risks, because that's where all of the young people are right now. You mentioned TikTok. That's a huge platform right now for the youngest generation, you know, that we're basically targeting to introduce into hunting. Every high school kid in the country is using TikTok. Yeah. I mean, and you need to have some sort of good educational archery hunting content on there to get them excited about going to the woods. They're not going to turn the TV on and watch a hunting show on a network. Not like, you know, a 40 or a 50 year old person with a family would. So it's real important to kind of diversify your content for these different platforms. And there's lots of young influencers out there too, you know, do it with their own stuff where they're just doing, you know, individual things like what you just mentioned. And they have a few of those platforms out there. And I think they're very, very important to the growth of the sport as well.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. Cause like you see it, like, I feel like it's almost like anybody can kind of be their own show now. You know, it's interesting with TikTok, especially. I watched this one, it's just this husband and wife, and the husband's a cop, and every time he comes home, they like do some trick to each other, and it's hilarious. Like, I just can't stop watching it. I'm like, this is so funny. And like every time that he comes home or she comes home, they're like hiding on the roof, and they shoot these powder things at each other. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, this is like really like the kind of stuff that, you know, maybe archery needs, right? Like something funny that's kind of grabby that, you know, can pull people into more of the like learning to hunt, hunting shows and things like that nature. But it's just so interesting to me, like how much is changing so fast. You had this YouTube for the longest time for video only. You had Facebook kind of do a little bit of everything. You had Instagram was supposed to be just photos, and now they're copying the Reels thing, like a TikTok trying to like get into this, you know, quick video thing. And also how you film, right? As a producer and creator, not only are you filming, you know, like this now, right? now you're filming like this. It's like changing the whole ratio of how you, you know, how you would normally film something. I mean, I'm not talking like a full episode, but like if you're trying to film something quick and fast and, you know, and you want it just for reels or just for TikTok, it's a completely different way of filming. It's not really the same. So it's hard to go back and forth because now you have a different aspect ratio of the two different films. So, it's interesting, man. I just can't believe how much has changed in the, you know, 11 years we've been doing BHP. It's been literally just constant changes. Like it just never stays the same. If, when I started this, it was TV. That was the big thing. Companies wouldn't even talk to us. It was all TV. Then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. It started phasing into this internet thing. And then it phased, you know, there was forums for a while and then YouTube. And then, you know, it got into the whole Facebook was the big thing for a while. And then now I feel like it's completely opposite. All the companies are looking for podcasts. They're looking for all these things. You know, it's crazy. It's just a lot different now.
Oh, yeah. Contents has changed drastically.
It's pretty cool. So, all right, you guys got the show, but you guys also have a podcast, correct?
Yep, the Hunting Public Podcast.
So check that out, guys. You get time. And then, you know, obviously, your guys' YouTube page is killing it. Oh, do you have the silver play button?
I think so.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
The one that that YouTube sends you when you get to 100,000.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, I think we have it. We haven't showed it in a video yet, but I'm pretty sure it's at Greg's house.
That's exciting. Take a picture, send it to me. I'd love to see that thing. Just holding, just having a hunting group holding one is just amazing to me. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's one of my ultimate goals. But now I'm like, maybe I need to do a different channel to get it. I don't know. What can move faster?
That's kind of the interesting thing with hunting content and really hunters of the future. I feel like that we need to kind of embrace the fact that the hunter of tomorrow is going to look a lot different than the one of 20 years ago. Like people are starting to get involved in hunting that we never expected to have hunt. You know, there's a lot of people from the middle of the city that, you know, are starting to hunt for meat, and they're more worried about generating organic food for themselves.
Yeah.
And then they are about, you know, figuring out how to shoot a 5-year-old buck. You know, that's the moon to them. They're just looking at how they can get out and go hunting and harvest some meat and food for their family. But those types of people are popping up everywhere now and getting involved in hunting. And we need to figure out ways to communicate to them as well. Pretty much everybody. So
that's true.
I think that's just good food for thought to think about moving forward. Like there's been this kind of this blueprint of, you know, dozens of different shows over the years of like how you go out and you hunt whitetails and how you produce hunting and everything. And if you've seen one of them, you've seen them all, you know, they're all kind of very similar, but, and even the way that they communicate in the videos and the language that we use in our group, if you will, is different than what the next generation of hunters is going to be like. So
well stated, my friend. Well stated.
Keep that in mind moving forward. But yeah, to your point about creating a channel that's like something different, I think that's a real good idea, because that's kind of our I don't know how I want to put this. That's kind of where we're limited within the hunting public. Like we generate hunting content, and that's pretty much all we do. We create hunting content, deer hunting and turkey hunting most of the time. And then we dabble in a few other things. You know, we're going to do some trapping. Like I said, we're doing some pig hunts. We got some elk hunts, but deer and turkeys is primarily what we do. I feel like if you had more of just an outdoor lifestyle type channel on YouTube that reached a wider demographic, you could pull in more people that are kind of on the fence about hunting. Or you could at least, you know, show them that, you know, hunting is a part of your lifestyle, but it's not the only thing. You're doing all these other things too. You know, you're going hiking, you're going on canoe trips with your family, yada, yada, yada. I think that would be real interesting. And that could potentially serve as a bridge to all those other people that are outdoor enthusiasts that just haven't picked up a bow yet.
Yeah. Yeah. True. All right, Aaron, Hunting Public, thank you so much, man, for tuning in with us. I really appreciate this. And everybody, check out their podcast, check out their YouTube page, Instagram. I'll have the links below. and some awesome content there, and these guys are getting it done. So thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the Adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.